Today on Real Radio.
And God is saying to us right now, you lack wisdom in something? Is there anything in your life and in my life that we don't have exactly the squeeze on it? Is there something in our lives that's kind of flapping out there in the wind? We don't know quite what to do with it? Let's ask Him for some wisdom.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament letter penned by James, the brother of Jesus. The letter is among those in the New Testament that give the Gentile insight on the Jewish perspective of the gospel. Verses 5 through 8 of the first chapter deal with not just wisdom, but divine wisdom, and divine wisdom that the Almighty grants us in the midst of trials, as our teacher explains in this presentation called Lord, We Need Wisdom. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Some of you, I look around here, some of you are seeking God for direction in your life. Some of you are going to Russia. God, I want wisdom for that. Some of you are on business ventures and your business that you do. God, I need wisdom. Schooling, I need wisdom, Lord. Some of you are in the medical field. Lord, I need wisdom. How do I deal with this? God, give me. I tell you, that's what I'd like to have a doctor and a surgeon and a nurse full of wisdom, wouldn't you? Especially if they have a knife in their hand. I want them to have a lot of wisdom. But think about it. God, I need you in my life, and I need wisdom. Recognize this, that we need to confess our need in this area. That's what God's going to do. He's going to bless us with wisdom when we ask Him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we need to seek Him. Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Can you underline that in your Bible? It says in my Bible, it will be given to him. Do we believe this? It says that He'll do it. If you and I lack wisdom, this verse is warning me that it's not His inability to answer prayer, it's my inability to ask. Because you know what? We don't think about it. I remember years ago where I used to work, the big president came into the room and they had been interviewing a certain person or certain people for a certain job, and they all got together and they're kicking around the idea about who they're going to hire, and they had these people from Northwestern University and Johns Hopkins University and all these great, great schools where there's medical programs, super duper things, and these great, great people. And all these guys are spouting off, giving their inputs about who to hire. And I remember the president, beautiful Christian man, by the way. He said, you know, we're going to go with so-and-so. And it kind of stunned everybody because they didn't come blazing through the interviews like everybody else. And he said, you know, but nobody asked the president why. He's the president. But he's such a kind man. He just says, you know, and this is the reason why. That person in our interviews knew what questions to ask. And that's a key. You can miss something that's right in front of your nose if you don't ask the right questions. You know, some people get upset with children. Man, all she does is ask questions. Or all he does is, Mommy, why? Mommy, why? Hey, don't frustrate that. That brain is growing faster than you, Mom and Dad, can answer its questions. You better get on your horse there. And when that little guy says, why is the sky blue? You better have an answer for him. You better have an answer. Tell him. They're growing so much. And when you ask the right questions, it's a good thing. We need to ask the right question. Oh, God,
I'm in the middle of a trial, and I'm asking you for wisdom, please. Lord, get me through this. But let him, verse 6, ask in faith. That is the requirement. Ask believing. Ask in faith with no doubting. This is heavy. No doubting whatsoever. You pray to God for wisdom with not one doubt in your mind. Or else, don't ask. It's as pungent to the family and to the heart of God as if your child walked up and said, Mom, can I have something to eat? That mother is going to turn and feed that child. Can you imagine the child coming up knowing that the refrigerator is so full and that little tummy is telling him or her, I'm so hungry. And for years, that little baby, well, not for years, but for months, that baby nursed upon mommy. And then for years been fed by the spoon and fed by the table and fed by the hand. And then that little baby someday comes up, that little five-year-old walks up and says, Mom, can I have some food? And mommy discerns this little hesitation. Well, yeah, why? I don't know if you're going to give it to me or not. That would break your heart as a parent. That would break your heart. What do you think I am, some kind of a wacko? Are you hungry, honey? I don't even want you to get hungry. And God is saying to us right now, you lack wisdom in something? Is there anything in your life and in my life that we don't have exactly the squeeze on it? Is there something in our lives that's kind of flapping out there in the wind? We don't know quite what to do with it? Let's ask Him for some wisdom. Could be anything at all. We just don't ask. And we need to start asking. Asking in faith with no doubting. Why? It insults Him. Believing when you ask Him. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Well, that's pretty serious stuff. And listen, this is the very serious language here. See the word tossed? The word tossed means to be bellowed. It's where we get like take the billows that generate wind and you stoke the flames. It means to agitate. And by the way, the word is not, don't think in your mind that the waves like we have here in Southern California, the waves continually move toward the shore. It's not waves of direction. It's as though the person is in a tank and the tank is on a table and it just jitters. And have you ever seen what water does when it jitters? It doesn't go anywhere but up and down, up and down, up and down. It doesn't go left, right, north, south, east, or west. It doesn't do that. It just goes up and down like pistons. That's the word that's used here for tossed. Have you ever felt like that? I told you on last week I got a note. I'm sorry. It was last Sunday after first service. A person had written a note. And they used this exact word, and they didn't even realize it. We hadn't gotten to it yet. They said, my life is like on a sea, and I'm being thrown up and down, and I can't see anything. I don't know where to go. I have no direction. In fact, it was spoken in there, I'm like a boat. You ever felt like that? Up and down, the raging of the sea, seemingly going nowhere. An unstable man, a man that has no faith is like that. He's got no rudder. He's got no direction. Well, how do we get that? By coming to God and literally, and here's where we begin. We bow our knees down to the ground, if necessary, and say, God, I'm hearing that you're big. I'm understanding you wrote the Bible. I can't fix my life. I'm asking you to take the helm of my life. And Lord, I'm coming to you, and I'm asking to give me wisdom. Only a fool would not ask God for wisdom. For the Bible says in Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that person is tossed on the sea of life, up and down, no direction. All the while looking like they got it all together. Tossed by the wind.
Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Boy, that is a strong statement. The fact of the matter is, a person who comes to God doubting and asking and requesting regarding wisdom, if he's doubting, God says no. No way. You see, what's very interesting about it is that the very thing we need is wisdom, and we're to seek hard after it. And the scriptures tell us that we're to seek after wisdom with all of our heart. Remember in 1 Kings with great King Solomon? Solomon receives the kingdom from his father. And Solomon, such a precious, humble man at that time. Solomon says, Lord, I don't know when to go in and I don't know when to go out. I'm king, I don't know what to do. And I'm asking you, Lord, to give me wisdom and understanding that I can govern your people. And God responds. And he says, Solomon, because you have asked this for my people and nothing for yourself, I will not only give you wisdom and understanding, but it will be wisdom and understanding that surpasses all humankind. And even today around the world, the rumor and the lore of Solomon being the most brilliant man that's ever lived still reigns today. The smartest man, the wisest man. The wisdom of Solomon. And then God says, you know, because you didn't ask something for yourself, I'm not only going to give you wisdom and understanding, I am going to give you riches beyond measure. I'm going to give you influence and blessing that you can't contain. Because God sought Solomon for wisdom. We as Christians need to be wise in these last days. The Bible tells us that we need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Now, we all know what a dove is like. We have doves every night and every morning come into the yard and you can hear them. You know how they flap their wings? They make that funny little squeaky sound. And they're all over the backyard there feeding. And they're so gentle. We get the binoculars, even though they're just maybe 30, 40 feet away, we'll get the binoculars and look at them. And they look like they're airbrushed. They're so perfect. And they're so gentle. They're so peaceable. It's gentle as a dove. But what about a serpent? Man, you got to be pretty wise to be a serpent, don't you? You ain't got no legs. You look across the street on a flat road, you could look 10 miles that way. 10 miles the other way. Here we go. And you start going. You know, 15 minutes could go by. Okay, and that's one lane down. They got to think, man. They're cunning. They hide. They know when to move. They know when not to move. They know how to scare you. Some snakes that don't pack a venom, they'll bluff you even. Some snakes will curl up and they'll act like they're going to strike you and they're thinking, "This, I hope this idiot doesn't know that I'm not a rattlesnake." Wise, that's how they live. We need to be wise. Asking God for the wisdom, and it's a wisdom for the moment, wisdom for the situation, because God wants us to keep asking. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Look, here's the reason why. Verse 8, he's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. The word double-minded means he's got two souls. Now, he doesn't really have two souls, but he kind of does. He can't make a decision. He vacillates from one view to the other. You ever notice someone like that? What do you want to eat? It's just better you order for them. They can't decide. Well, should we go north or south? I don't know. It's like they're divided, and they'll get in an argument with themselves. They're divided. Well, this word means to be divided in the soul, to have a soul going to the left and a soul going to the right, to be double-souled, or to be dual-minded. They're split right down the middle. And they can never come to any kind of a direct path. They can't make up their mind and move. Why? They have no faith. You see this? They have no faith. When they do pray, it's doubt,
that's doubting everything. When they go to pray and ask God for wisdom, they don't believe God's going to give it. And this is a serious thing, because you and I can become guilty of this. They don't believe that God will give the wisdom, even though they're praying for it. Isn't that a terrible thing? Lord, I ask you for wisdom, and believing that you're going to give it. Now, I can understand us having doubt if we're saying, Lord God, I just ask you for that winning lotto ticket. Now, you ought to doubt about that. First of all, you ought not to buy the ticket. That's your first mistake. God, can I use your money to buy a lotto ticket? Now, you'll hear him loud and clear if you ask him. We just don't ask. Doubting. This man's not going to receive anything. Why? Because he's double-minded. He's dual-minded. He has no conviction. And the tragic thing, most important thing, is that a double-minded man is an affront to the nature of God. Because God does not vacillate. If our God does not move, then can't we stand firm on him? You see, a double-minded man is insecure about everything. Many of us, as new believers, when we start out our walk with Jesus, what do we suffer from? Am I saved this week? I was saved last week. Am I saved this week? You vacillate. Why? Because your faith is weak. And you're learning. But what happens after a time? You begin to know, hey, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Not even myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, that tells me that I'm hidden in the hollow of your hand, and I'm also hidden in the Father's hand, and I'm stuck between the Son and the Father in the palm of their hand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, that gives confidence. That gives assurance so you can pray and act in faith. But a double-minded man, he's unstable in all of his ways. And this word unstable is better, more described than it is told in words. His feet and his very thinking is housed and positioned on jello. Think of that, jello on a dish. Why is it when we pass jello on the table, we got to shake it? It's just the coolest thing. All I have to do now is do jump rope and see the same thing happen, you know. Look at that jello. But this jello, look at this. And that's the man who's unstable in all of his ways. Just like that. He's constantly moving. One of the telltale signs to identify an unstable man or woman in all of their ways is that they worry about everything. They worry about it all. There's no peace. There's no rest. There's no stillness of the soul. They can't lay down at night without their gears spinning because they're worried about things. They can't leave it on the incredible foundation of God's hand. Oh, if we could see ourselves from God's vantage point. I know this, I don't mean this to sound rude by any means, but if you could see from God's vantage point how we're supposed to be with him, we would all have these little bonnets on with a baby bottle in our mouth and booties on, and he's just holding us. And here's in the mind, we're thinking that we can do all these great things, and God says, not without me helping you. We hear all these supposedly mature thoughts going on in our minds, and God says, you're just my child. And if I don't set you on the path and help you along and keep you from falling down, you'll crash. That's who we are. And when you start to see people like that, I don't care who it is, if they walk up and they're 900 pounds and 7 feet tall, you know what? They're a baby in the hand of God. David had faith when he ran up to Goliath. I love it. By the way, it's awesome. We stood in the Valley of Elah. They know exactly where that spot is at because that valley snakes along. And then there's two big ridges that go up. And the Israeli army was on one side and the Philistine army was on the other side. And in between that valley is a creek bed of smooth stones. They're perfect. And it's so cool. David goes up there and we read the story and we have a hard time believing it. Oh man, I'm sure this kid, what is he, 12, 13, 14 years old? He goes after this guy that's 9 feet, 6 inches tall. His spear weighed 135 pounds. He slept in a bed, according to the scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy. The prince of Og, his bed was 14 feet long. 6 fingers and 6 toes on each foot and hand. Weird guy. Weird people. There are a bunch of them. David, I love his attitude. I like what our tour guide told us. He gets out there and he goes, David is a man. He's a young man. He's a little guy with a lot of chutzpah. He had a lot of guts. Well, we say, well, was it guts or was it God? It was both. God brought the giant down. It was his guts that trusted in the Lord. And David shouted out, hey, you uncircumcised Philistine, you! You wouldn't say that with women present anywhere. That they didn't have women in the Israeli army on that day. You come in the name of your armies? Well, I come to you in the name of our God. Goliath says, what do you take me to be, a dog? You send a little kid out here? I bet he laughed. Can you imagine the laugh of a giant? The ground probably kind of shook. David picked up 5 stones. Do you know the reason why he had 5 stones? One was for Goliath. And the Bible tells us by name, Goliath had 4 brothers. It gives their names in the book of Samuel. That's cool. That's faith. Come here, you big pile of uncircumcised flesh, you. And he gets that thing going, and he checks his little pocket. Yeah, got 4 more right in there. Because his brothers come up, I'm going to knock them out too by the power of God. And Goliath's standing there, and he just goes, whew. And notice, the stone didn't kill him. Read the fine print. He didn't kill the giant with the stone. Stone knocked him back on his back. Stone knocked him over. Well, I don't know, this part scares me. David runs up there and stands on his chest and pulls out a sword. He's a little guy. Pulls out a sword and plops it on Goliath's neck and starts sawing. The guy wasn't dead yet. He was dazed. David cuts his head off. That's an awesome story. Every guy loves that. It's like, yes. Now, David could have sat there and said, with knowledge. Knowledge isn't bad, but if you don't have wisdom, what good is it? With knowledge, he could have said, you know, the trajectory of this thing, when I let it go, this velocity is going to basically, his skull's about 6 inches thick. I think maybe if I hit him just right. And then it checks the wind. No. David had wisdom to trust in the power of God Almighty.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation on the New Testament letter written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. We've been looking at chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8 in a study called Lord, We Need Wisdom. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us for that. Now, we want to remind you about the few openings for our 2012 trip to Israel. Among the few things better than a trip to Israel is going with a Pastor Jack who knows the lay of the land, the culture, the history. The trip takes place between March 21st and April the 2nd, so visit us at realradioactive.org for more info, realradioactive.org. Or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org.
Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.